Quinn Dexter opened his eyes. Before him the three possessed, their exotic appearances bleached off to reveal young men with ashen faces, backed away in consternation, their confidence in their supremacy jarringly fractured. Grant Kavanagh's decimated body quivered amid the blood and piss curdling on the carpet as the soul it now hosted tried valiantly to repair the colossal tissue damage. Deep inside himself he heard Edmund Rigby's soul whimpering quietly. Quinn smiled beatifically at his rapt audience. "I have returned," he said softly, and raised his hands in invocation. "Out of the half-night, strengthened by the darkness, as only a true believer could be, I saw the weakness in my possessor, his fright of his serpent-beast. He is in me now, weeping and pleading as he denies form to his true nature, as it should be. God's brother showed me the way, showed me the night holds no dread for those who love their real selves as he commands us to do. But so few obey. Do you obey?" They tried then, Ichabod Geertz, Don Padwick, and Chen Tambara, containing their energetic strength in a desperate attempt to blast the deranged usurper out of his body and into the beyond. Quinn laughed uproariously, steadfast at the calm center of a fantastic lightning storm which filled the room. Dazzling whips of raw electricity slashed at the walls and floor and ceiling like the razor claws of a maddened griffin. None of them could touch him. He was held in violet in a cocoon of luminous violet silk mist. The lightning stopped roaring, ebbing in spits and crackles, to disappear behind charred furniture and back into the bodies of the would-be thunder gods. Smoke hazed the blackened room, small flames licking greedily at the cushions and tattered curtains. Quinn wished for justice. Their bodies fell, cells performing the refined perversions he dreamed of, turning against themselves. He watched impassively as the terrorized, humiliated souls fled from the glistening deformities he had created, back to the beyond, crying in dire warning. Then the second souls, the ones held captive, abandoned the macerated flesh. Grant Kavanagh's body groaned at Quinn's feet, the possessing soul looking up at him in numb trepidation. The worst of the lacerations and fractures had healed, leaving a criss-cross scar pattern of delicate pink skin. "What is your name?" Quinn asked. "Luca Coma." "Did you see what I performed on them, Luca?"
"Yes! Oh, God, yes!"
He bowed his head, bile rising in his throat. "They were weak, you see, unworthy fuck-ups. They had no real faith in themselves. Not like me." Quinn took a deep breath, calming his euphoric thoughts. His marine fatigues billowed out into a flowing priest's robe, fabric turning midnight black.
"Do you have faith in yourself, Luca?"
"Yes, I do. I have faith. Really, I do."
"Would you like me to tell you of the serpent beast? Would you like me to show you your own heart and set you free?"
"Yes, please, please show me."
"Good. I think that is my role now the portents walk abroad, now the dead are arisen to fight the last battle against the living, and the time of the light-bringer draws near. I have been blessed, Luca, truly blessed with his strength. My belief in him brought me back, me alone, out of all the millions who are possessed. I am the one God's brother has chosen as his Messiah."
Where the tributary river finally spilled into the Julif, it was 130 meters wide. Villages had claimed both banks, buildings gleaming inside their safe enclave bubbles of white light. By now Chas Pask was used to the striking fantasy images of halcyon hamlets dozing their life away. He had passed 8 or 9 of them during his slow progress down the river. All of them the same, all of them unreal. Warned by the twin coronet ahead, he had sculled his little boat back into the middle of the river, fighting the thick gunge of melding snow lilies every centimetre of the way. Now he was in a narrow channel of vermilion light which fell between the two pools of native radiance, crouched down as best he could manage. His body was in a poor way. The nanonic medical packages had been exhausted by the demand of decontaminating his blood some time ago. Now it was all they could do to stop the blood vessels they had knitted with from hemorrhaging again.
His neural mnemonics still maintained their analgesic blocks delivering him from pain, but that didn't seem to be enough any more. A cold lethargy was creeping into him through his damaged leg, siphoning his remaining strength away. Any movement was a complicated business now, and muscles responded with geriatric infirmity. Several times in the last few hours he had been stricken by spasms which vibrated his arms and torso.